Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Our subject today, the room in the inn. Today's guests are John Green and Matthew Hernandez. More about them in a moment, but first my monologue. Room in the Inn began in 1985 when founding director Father Charles Strobel offered peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to those in need gathered near his East Nashville church. Later, he invited the homeless people to overnight in the church during the cold winter nights. By the end of 1987 winter, more than 30 area congregations had joined Father Strobel's effort. For the 2019 and 2020 winter season, nearly 200 Nashville congregations from a wide variety of faith traditions were committed to serving the winter shelter program. Each offered the homeless of Nashville a hot meal, a warm bed, and an evening of hospitality. Volunteers from these churches shelter homeless men and women and feed those in need. They also provide other services, which we will discuss later. All of this inspired by God's love. Even more exciting, Room in the Inn concept has become a model for programs in 36 other cities, from Calgary, Canada, to Charlotte, North Carolina. This winter, however, many congregations were unable to host guests due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Consequently, the Nashville Catholic Diocese donated $50,000 to support the nonprofit's ministry to the homeless. These funds allowed Room in the Inn to open shelters at St. Vincent de Paul and St. Mary's Child Development Center, and to establish a central housing site at St. Vincent's. Volunteers from St. Vincent de Paul Parish have partnered for many years with the First Lutheran Church downtown to oversee the program. Another new space this year is the recently purchased Drexel House, a property adjacent to Room in the Inn's campus located on 7th and Drexel Avenues downtown. The building is the former location of Immaculate Mother Academy, founded by St. Catherine Drexel to serve and educate Black children in Nashville. Sister Catherine also founded St. Vincent de Paul Parish and School. Following in the spirit of their foundress, Mother Catherine, and their patron, St. Vincent de Paul, it was natural for them to host Room in the Inn guests each winter. Room in the Inn also operates a guest house, which includes overnight alternative for jail for the publicly intoxicated, a safe space for recuperating from acute and chronic medical conditions, support, coordination, and assistance with permanent housing, access to mental health services, alcohol and drug addiction recovery classes and services, and community living and support in finding housing. Room in the Inn core values statement says, through the power of spirituality and the practice of love, we provide hospitality with a respect that offers hope in a community of nonviolence. There is much more to Room in the Inn and so much personal value in volunteering there. To tell us more about it, I have asked John Green, a volunteer for many years, to be our guest today. John was born and raised in Lewisburg, Tennessee, attended Christ the King School, earned a bachelor's in science and an MBA from Vanderbilt. He worked 5 years in U.S. Congress as a legislative assistant, then returned to Nashville and worked in real estate and property manager. He started his own firm in 2017, Green Building Management Services. He is chair of the Metro Traffic and Parking Committee. They established speed limits, parking rules, and regulations for Nashville. He once ran for Metro Council, but lost by 38 votes. Additionally, he is a longtime adult Scout leader, and since 2009, the Scout Master at Christ the King. His three sons, Christopher, Matthew, and Michael, all Eagle Scouts. His wife, Mary, is a registered nurse at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. They worship at Christ the King. Welcome, John, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. It is a pleasure to have you on our show.
All right. Glad to be here. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you, John. I have always been so proud of Eagle Scouts. They're a great bunch of young men. Four of my grandsons are Eagle Scouts. So let me ask you first, how long have you been a scout leader, and what do you most enjoy about scouts and scouting?
I have been a scout leader since 1994. I think what I just most enjoy is seeing through the Boy Scouts, which is the age kind of 11 to 18, you really see the transformation of folks from boys to young men. And it's great to watch, and it's great to watch them mature and grow. The ones who succeed on their path to Eagle, it's a great sense of accomplishment to see them get to that point and to be part of that mentoring and nurturing. So I'm blessed that those boys are a part of my life.
I would say that they grow from boys to exceptional young men.
That's the goal.
Now, one more question about
most of them are.
Pardon me?
Most of them are.
Most of them are. Now, one more question about scouting before we get back to the room in the end. Could you tell us just some of the things that your sons learned from being a scout and becoming an Eagle that other non-Eagle boys and girls don't know?
Well, what makes
them special?
Yeah. Well, I think what scouts learn is they can learn a process of growing towards independence, so that particularly if they go off to college or go off to work, they know how to care for themselves, they know how to pack, they know how to clean, they know how to cook, and they know some personal management, some life skills that I think not all other scouts know. But I think, too, they get a set of values, the 12 points of the scout law, that they can always refer to for the rest of their lives. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful, obedient, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And what we try to instill in all the scouts is whenever you have a moral dilemma, refer to one of the 12 points of the scout law, and it will be a guide for what you need to do.
You know, John, I have never attended an Eagle Scout ceremony without getting tears in my eyes. Man, it's just so emotionally dragging for me. It's just wonderful to see those boys.
Yep.
Those men. Well, John, thanks so much for all you do with the Scouts. Now tell us, how long have you been volunteering with Room in the Inn?
I probably lost track, but I think for 20 years or so.
20 years, that's most of the time they've been there. what motivates you, John?
Well, I know it may sound trite, but you know, much has been given to me, and it's important to give back. You know, I can remember growing up as a boy that I can remember there would be some people who would come through our life who I think were people that were down and out, and my parents would provide them some food and maybe a little work to do. And so I had a great role model, my mom and dad, who had empathy for those who had less, who did not have things. And, you know, Father Strobel, Charlie Strobel, created a great, you know, model with Room in the Inn as a way to serve those who are homeless. And to think the thing is, it's most important to remember, is homeless people are God's children too. And, you know, I try to always think, you know, when they were born, somebody was holding them in their arms and loving them. And, you know, many of them have had lots of unfortunate incidents in their lives. They made bad decisions. They didn't have good mentors, a whole variety of things. Who knows, you know, as they say, there but for the grace of God. So I've been very blessed and have lots of gifts and talents. So it's what I can do. But the thing just try to remember is each person we serve and that we've served over the years is one of God's children. And that's, you know, that's what Father Strobel says. And if you do that, then you treat everybody with respect and dignity. We're not, you know, what's been key to doing the Room in the Inn program at Christ the King is that every person who comes is our guest, We treat them like a guest, like they're at our house. And you don't treat guests at your house in a standoffish manner. You don't walk around the room looking to see everything they do. You know, you welcome them in, you give them hospitality, you say, what do you need, et cetera. And that's what we try to do at Christ the King. We kind of have our silly statement is we provide five-star hospitality, you know, kind of like staying at a five-star hotel. That's our joke, and that's our running joke. But, you know, it really is the aim that we strive so that when our guests come, they leave Christ the King, they say Christ the King was a great place to go.
Well, that's great. John, can you tell us what do you do at...
Well, you know, in the pre-pandemic world, when we were at Christ the King School, and we're very fortunate, the pastor, Father Dexter, is just beyond supportive, and the school principal, Sherry Woodman, it's great. It's really integrated into the whole school there at Christ the King. But what we provide from, you know, around 6 p.m. at night on a Wednesday till 6 a.m. the following morning is... When we were at Christ the King, we were providing everyone with shelter, a warm bed, a hot meal for dinner cooked by Donald St. Charles. We had a clothing closet with sweatsuits, underwear, shirts, T-shirts, wool socks, and one of my favorite things from Boy Scouts, a dry sack so that their stuff would never get wet, backpacks. We would provide them showers. In the morning, they wake up and have a hot breakfast, and then we give them a lunch that was made by the eighth graders at Christ the King. But during the time they were there, when we had volunteers like Matthew, they could sit there at the table and visit with our guests and interact with them. And, because, you know, the thing that people forget, many of our guests have children. And they're either haven't seen them, they're estranged from them, they don't have the ability to see them. And the great thing at Christ the King has been we've had lots of youth volunteer. And our guests who come to Christ the King, one of the things they love is the children and seeing the children because it makes it feel more like home. So, you know, there's been a place for them to watch TV and then we give them showers. During the pandemic, being over at St. Vincent de Paul, you know, we're still providing them food, a warm place. Unfortunately, don't have the showers, and we really, you know, we can't do the hospitality with social distancing, et cetera. We're not gathered around the table like we'd like to be. And, you know, a lot of the interaction is missing. But, you know, the goal of providing hospitality is still there.
Yeah, I think you're the director at
Christ the King.
Yeah. And how much time does that take from you?
Well, it's just like Boy Scouts, only an hour a week, right? Right.
Okay, next. So now you're a stand-up, right?
So, you know, there's some time organizing. You know, I probably spend several hours a week. You know, there's some nights, I think once a month, I'm spending the night. You know, this year, you know, due to COVID-19 it's been difficult to get some volunteers who used to come in the past, which we understand, but we've made it work. So, you know, I spend, you know, 2-3 hours a week with Christ the King on average.
What could a volunteer expect to spend, just a regular volunteer?
Well, you know, probably an hour to 2 hours. Generally, what we've liked volunteers to do in the past is come, visit with our guests, help get the clothing stuff together, visit, chat with them. You know, when we've done things like showers in the past, get them to the showers and get them back. And so now, you know, it's really more serving them meals and just making sure that they're kind of taken care of. So now it's probably more... Probably the average volunteer is probably there more like an hour and a half. We do some setup, you know, around 5 to 5:30, dinner 6 to 6:30. And then, you know, by 7 o'clock or so, you know, the whole dinner time is kind of over. Most of the volunteers are gone by then. You know, in the past, when we were at Christ the King, we'd have volunteers around till 8, 8:30, because they'd be chatting with the guests at the dinner table, taking them to showers, et cetera. You know, that's been the part that's been the hardest this year with COVID-19 is the sense that you can't really run a 5-star hotel. You really, you like the hospitality part is missing.
Well, hopefully that is going to go back.
Will go away.
John, what does a volunteer get out of it? What do you think the average volunteer gets?
I would think the average volunteer would gain an appreciation that a person, though they're homeless, is a human being just like they are. That they're not, you know, in the Bible, you know, there's stories, you always hear the stories about the lepers and how they were treated. And I think many times there's this tendency to maybe want to treat people different than us, kind of like lepers. And they're not lepers. They're human beings.
John, I'm going to introduce our other guests, and yes, we'll kind of come back to this in a minute. But before we run out of time, Hernandez is our youngest guest we've ever had in the show. He will share with us not only his youthful wisdom, but also his experience with Room in the Inn. Matthew is a seventh grader at Christ the King. He was born in Houston, Texas. And that's why we know he's going to get big, because everything in Texas is big, right? He plays basketball, studies jiu-jitsu. He placed third in the 5th through 8th grade spelling bee when he was in the 5th grade. He has done on-camera work for some commercials for companies like Walmart and was just invited to the Junior Honor Society. He earned honorable mention in the Toshiba Explorer Vision. And not that it matters, but Matthew is also the son of our producer, Jovita Hernandez. Now, Matthew was introduced to Room in the Inn through his sister, Juliana, who volunteered as Father Ryan's student. She is working with John now as her mentor and is about to complete a surface project for Room in the Inn. She created a bilingual information pamphlet that will be distributed to the guests for easy access to contacts that will help them prepare for simple job interviews, access to local medical services, and personal protective gears during the pandemic. For this, she will earn her highest, most prestigious Girl Scout Award, the Girl Scout Gold Award. Welcome, Matthew, to Parenting Matters. I'm so pleased to meet you and have you on our show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to meet you as well.
Well, for a young man, Matthew, you've had a major amount of experiences. It looks like you're following John Green, same grade school, same parish, and I'm sure he's proud of you and what you do. I suppose you're planning to go to Vanderbilt too.
That would be really awesome. I hope I can.
Wouldn't it be awesome? Yes. Well, now, Matthew, what have you done in Room in the Inn? And tell us about your experience there.
So we served them. We talked with them. We just spent really good time with people there.
And you look like you have a good time with anybody.
Thank you.
Matthew, what would you advise other kids to do regarding Room in the Inn? Do you think it would be a good place for other kids to go?
Go ahead.
You know, to help there?
Yes, I would really recommend other kids to go there because you get to spend time with the poor and you get to serve them as well. And when you leave, you just get a really, really good feeling.
That's good. Some say that the volunteering helps the volunteer more than does the served. Now, I think your mother told me you had some guy down there that you met that you thought was really cool. Who was that?
His name was Humberto. He was from Cuba, and he was a refugee.
Mm-hmm. And?
He told me his story of how he was sent to jail, and I asked him, why was he sent to jail? He said he stole a bull. I asked him, why did he steal a bull? And he said he was starving. To this day, I'm not sure if he ate it or he sold it, but I really enjoyed this story.
Stole the bull. Well, that's interesting. I was going to steal something. I think it would be something easier than a bull. Any other stories you want to tell about it?
Well, we only spent a couple hours together, so I don't really have...
We'll Any other men's stories you want to relate?
It's been a year, so I can't remember.
Oh, it's been a year. You well, call again on you before the show is over, because we still have a few minutes left. And I want to talk just a little bit about some of the other services that Room in the Inn provides. They have this thing called Hope University, an education and workforce development ministry. It provides lifelong learning and self-empowerment through a variety of daily education and workforce classes designed to help participants. Last year, over 3,000 people took part in Hope University's education and workforce program with over 2,300 hours of training, and 150 people found meaningful employment because of that program. John, have you had any experience with the Hope University?
No, not personally, because I think that's a program that they offer down at the campus, yes. The main campus. And you know, one of the things I just know about the main campus program is that over time they have really evolved from a model of what I'd say that all they were doing was providing food and overnight shelter to homeless, to where they provide a more continuum of service over a long period of time. Because you know, one of the things that, you know, I've had experience in the past, I've done prison ministry in the past, not that homeless is prison, but the point is people who have been in these kind of institutionalized settings, which is unfortunate, a lot of homeless people have, it takes quite a while to break that cycle and to teach people independent living. You know, as we say, it takes usually 3 to 6 years for a boy to become an Eagle Scout. So I don't know why we would think that a person who's homeless doesn't need some time to learn skills about how to get a job, how to stay employed, how to, you know, open a bank account, how to do some of those skills themselves. So I know that the campus has evolved and they actually have apartments or spaces down there that people eventually move into. So that over time you do this continuum of service trying to get people from homelessness to independent living, and that's a long process.
Are all the people at this downtown, as you say, volunteers, or do they have some employed people?
Well, they have employees. I don't know how many employees they have, but they also have a lot of volunteers. I mean, mm-hmm. I know some who've gone and taught life skill classes, et cetera, but you know, they have a 6-7-story building down there, and there's living quarters in it, along with, you know, kitchen. And, you know, I think they've done things where they teach people how to cook. There's a whole variety of life skill things they do. You know, the people that come to us are ones who all their possessions are what they can carry. That's typically who we serve on Wednesday night.
And then is there a place for them to have dinner each night, or do they just do once
typically,
a week?
Typically, you know, when the program is, you know, again, pre-COVID, when the program was full bore, you know, there were probably every night 250 homeless men, women, and sometimes children who were off the streets. They had congregations participating every night of the week, probably 200-plus congregations who were handling, you know, 250 people a night. You know, this year, it's hard to know exactly how many. I'm aware there's only a small number of Catholic churches doing the Room in the Inn program. I'm aware of a lot of other churches that are not doing it as well.
Well, have they been doing it in the past and they had to quit because of COVID?
Yeah, the COVID, yeah. Because people, you know, one of the reasons why we're not at Christ the King School is because of the school, the need to, you know, to preserve the COVID bubble. You know, we're not breaking the bubble. So that's why we're so many congregations I know have schools, daycares, a whole variety of things to where it's very important to keep all the other people safe. But
if a person belongs to a congregation or a church that does not volunteer for Room in the Inn, how would they go about starting a program at that church?
They would contact the main campus. The Room in the Inn would be the executive director, Rachel Hester, and say, we would like to start the Room in the Inn program at our place. And, you know, typically what that entails is lining up volunteers who can get people to the congregation, serving food to that congregation, finding them a place to sleep, and then getting them back. I mean, you know, that's at the most basic level. And anything from there is just, you know, what improvements to the program.
Well, thank you so much, John. We are about out of time. And thank you, Matthew, for spending this time with us today. And a special thanks to our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Before I sign off, one quick story. Billy Currington is a popular singer, had a popular and funny song a few years ago that, like many other country songs, teaches a lesson. His song, People Are Crazy. Have you ever heard People Are Crazy? Well, in the story, a young man walks into a tavern and meets an old man sitting at the bar. They talk about lots of things, girls, life, death, even God among them. The old man's philosophy was, God is great, beer is good, people are crazy. They left when the bar closed at 2 a.m. and never met again. Now, sometime later, the old man died, and his young friend recognized the old man's picture in the paper. The obituary said the old guy was a millionaire and left all of his money to a young fellow he shared some beers with in the bar. Currington continued singing, saying, "Now, just I'm doing well. God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy." Now, I know that no one volunteers at the Rooney Inn or any other place in the hopes of inheriting $1 million, but every volunteer profits in some way, big or little, by helping others, even if it's only by listening and talking with them. So now for your homework. Get your friends together and listen to this show with them on www.parenting-matters.com. Have a discussion about the volunteering each of you have done. Take a minute and think about how that volunteering has helped you as you help others. And if you have not been volunteering, then check with your church to see if they need volunteers for their Room in the Inn program. If they don't have a program, talk with your pastor about starting one or ask what other programs are available. There are many. Then return to www.parenting-matters.com and tell us about your discussion. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thanks for listening. May God continue to bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.